Good morning. Let's take our song books together and turn to number 178. 178 in the Bible stands. And shall we stand together and sing? Number 178.
Great to be in the house of the Lord. Let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask His blessing on our time together today. I'm going to ask Brother Dan Somerville if he'll come. He was on our staff here at Bethel Baptist Church from 1979, 1981, and has been faithfully serving the Lord in Quebec for over 30 years now. And I heard a little story. You can correct me if it's wrong, but I understand you went to Dr. Strachan and said, I have this burden for Quebec, and then 2 weeks later, he put you on a truck and sent you there. Is that correct? You had just a couple weeks to go.
3 years later.
Oh.
Come on up, brother.
Okay. Should I do this in heavenly language or in English?
Francais, no.
Thank you, Lord, for our day. We thank you, Lord, for everything we've heard so far. We thank you for your word, how it touches our heart. We thank you for the men that are here. They've taken time out. And especially the people of this church, what they've done to welcome us, the food they've given us, and just the welcoming. Bless them all. Thank you, Lord, for this church and for what their stand is, and bless this meeting today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, for years I've been called Wade's brother. How many of you know my brother Wade? Many of you do. I walked into Brother Groom's church, Brother Groom's, in Amherst, Nova Scotia, and I had two young ladies walk up and say, "You must be Wade's brother." I don't know how that is. And Brother Somerville this morning was talking to me at the door, and he said, "I remember you when you were little. You had red hair, right?" I said, "No, that was Wade." And so I'm getting a little frustrated with that, but he's my brother, my baby brother, so I just remind you of that. But no, that's okay. And most of you know him. He's kind of a troublemaker. But we love them. All right, let me give you a few announcements this morning before our missionary comes. There's still some gifts left out there. If you have not registered or not got your gifts, please make sure you pick those up before you go. We want to be a blessing to you. We have some books for the men. We have some bags for the ladies. And our ladies worked very hard to get those together for you. Let me mention lunch today. Lunch at noon. Again, we'll be over in the gymnasium. We have some things prepared. Some roast beef sandwiches. Some egg salad sandwiches. Some soup. I guess we got a couple kinds of soup today. And so it'll be a nice lunch. And then supper tonight, we decided we didn't know how many would be staying. We knew a lot of Ontario pastors would be going back to their church. So we really wouldn't really have a good number to go by. And so we just thought from 3:30 to 7, we're going to give you time to fellowship, go out with a friend, have some supper with another pastor. Just enjoy that time if you would. And just really have some fellowship and then come back tonight for a great service in the house of God. Now, here's the most important announcement I need to make at 3:30 today if you're interested. Apparently, there's going to be a hockey game in the gymnasium. And so we're going to go east against the west. How's that sound? And we better not do that. And maybe Canadians against Americans. How about that? Amen? No contest. Amen. And so, but if you're interested in that, and I would suggest if you're preaching tonight, don't do it. If you turn a knee or something, you'll be in trouble. But go and enjoy. Have some fun. If you brought a change of clothes or your motel's nearby, you got 3 or 4 hours there. You can come back, and Pastor Walsh wants to get a hockey game going. So if you just need some exercise and run around, that's fun. If you just want to come and yell and scream and feel like you're missing the NHL, this isn't even close. All right. Well, our missionary for today is Brother Malazzo, and we're glad that he's here with his family today. I'm going to ask him to come. He's going to share his burden for the Philippines.
Thank you, Pastor Fear, for allowing us to come. It's been a privilege to be here. As a missionary on the road all the time, it's that we come to get this kind of fellowship, and you just feel encouraged. My wife and I are just so thrilled to be here. Thank you, pastors. I've had a great time getting to know a lot of you, and again, reacquainted with a lot of preachers that we know. So thank you, and thank you, church, for putting this up. I know it's a lot of work, and you're taking care of us. We're well-fed, and thank you so much for doing that. I'm going to introduce my family over here. Would you just stand up? My oldest son, Micah, is 9. Matthias is 7. Shirley is 5. And we have a baby in the nursery. She's 2. And my wife, Sandra. And you can ask her how old she is. I'm not going to say from here. God's called us to the mountain province of the Philippines. So Henry Martin said this, that the spirit of missions, it's the spirit of Christ, it's the spirit of missions. And the nearer we get to Him, the more intensely missionary we become. When the Lord began to work in our hearts about the Philippines, I began to pray specifically where God would have us in the Philippines. There are some things I wanted to pray about. I said, Lord, you want us to go to the Philippines. I want to go to a place where there's still some unreached people and some where nobody really is there, and only a few missionaries that come. And many of you that are familiar with the Philippines, you might probably asking yourself, where is that? I'll be honest with you, the Philippines is a blessed country. Many have come, and many missionaries have come. Strong churches established, Bible colleges setting out graduates, starting churches. It's a blessed country, and people are very open to the gospel. But with about 94 million people in the size of just a little bit over 300,000 square kilometers, there's still some unreached people that are without the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God called us to the mountain province of the Philippines. And there are some missionaries there, but the city that God has showed us, the city of Sagada, where there's no gospel witness. And God used a man in my life that is an elderly Christian man, and he was a geography teacher in the Philippines. He began to tell me, I began to ask him different places in the Philippines, and he began to tell me, you know, go over here. People are very receptive to the gospel. Go over here, and people will be able to help you. And he said, but don't go to this specific city. It's just, you know, you won't get much out of that. And back of my mind, I said, that's where I want to go. But I prayed about it and asked counsel from my pastor. And the Lord just broke my heart for that city. And He gave us Romans 15:21. But as it's written, to whom He was not spoken of, they shall see. And they have not heard, shall understand. Mountain Province is a unique province. If you're familiar with the geography of the Philippines, we're still about 8 hours north of Manila. It takes about 8 to 9 hours, depending on how you drive. And the traffic in the Philippines, but it's we're trying to reach a specific group of people, namely the Igorot people. They're be like the natives of the Philippines, and they're very steep in their travel rituals and beliefs still. But in 1901, an Anglican missionary came, established a church. He didn't really preach the gospel, as far as I know, but he just wanted to civilize them because they were still living in very primitive ways. It was until 1940 that they stopped headhunting, and I'm glad they stopped that. Amen. But we're excited. We've been on the road for about 6 months, and we're currently at 30% of our support. So we praise the Lord. God's been so good to us, and we're going to be in the Ontario area for the remainder of fall and then the winter months. So I'll be calling some of you. Amen. And please answer your phone, and or at least return my phone calls. But thank you so much for this opportunity. Our missions presentation is more about the Philippines, but the majority part of it is our testimony, and we want people to get to know us and see where our heart is and what God is leading us to do. So, gentlemen, if you could.
Cultures springing from the blending of ancient influences of Malaysia, Indonesia, Arabia, China, Spain, and Japan.
A land which is the second most Catholic nation in Asia, but is rapidly giving way to Islam.
A land where 98% of the people live in devastating poverty, driving them to live unthinkable lives.
A land of 1.9 million unloved and unwanted children who live in the streets.
A land, though some say has been completely reached with the gospel, that is still shrouded in the darkness of sin.
But if our gospel be hid, it is hid them that are lost,
in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not.
Let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ with the image of God should shine unto them.
A land that needs the light of the gospel desperately. The land to which God has called us to carry the light of the gospel.
We are the Malasso family. I was born in Manila, Philippines. Upon immigrating to Canada in 1995, our family was invited to a church meeting in Vancouver. For the very first time, I heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Though I made a profession of faith at that time, I still struggled with doubts for many years to come. While in my third year at Faithway Baptist College of Canada, I was able to hear the preaching of Rob Bragg, a foreign missionary to Senegal, West Africa, as he shared how he had settled the matter of salvation while holding the position of a deacon in an independent Baptist church, I realized that I needed to stop being worried about what others would think and settle the matter once and for all. I responded to the invitation and accepted Christ as my Savior that night, March 25, 2001, and was baptized the following week. As my wife and I were married in May of the same year, God had already been working in our hearts about foreign missions. One month after our wedding, we took a mission trip to the Philippines, where we worked with a missionary family for 3 weeks. During our visit, we gained practical experience, and our burden for the Philippines was heightened. We left the Philippines to return to Canada, but our hearts remained there. Over the course of the next 10 years, we had the opportunity to assist in 3 churches in the Vancouver area. During these years, we continued to seek the Lord's perfect will concerning the Philippines. In the summer of 2009, amidst much prayer and counsel, and through His Word, God confirmed His calling for us to become missionaries to the Philippines.
I had the wonderful privilege of growing up in a Christian home. My parents were faithful to church and served in many ministries. I have fond memories of going on bus visitation on Saturday with my father, and then on Sunday, riding the bus to pick up the children and the special needs people so that they could come to church and hear about Christ. When I was 4 years old, I remember sitting on the carpet near my mom's chair. God spoke in my heart and told me that I needed to be saved. I told my mom and climbed up in her lap, and Mom made sure that I knew what the gospel was. I asked Him to be my Savior. In my teen years, I had the privilege of being under the ministry of Pastor Dan Fitzgerald. He nurtured in my heart and out of loving other people. He took our youth group on a missions trip to an Indian reservation in Arizona to serve with Stan and Jane Springer. I learned what love and compassion was truly about on that trip, and that is where I won my first soul to the Lord. I am so grateful to them for instilling this into my life. After my high school years, I went to Faithway Baptist College of Canada, where I surrendered my life to be a missionary. I met my husband there, and one thing that I saw in him, a characteristic that I loved, was that he was willing to do anything, but specifically he had a burden for his people, an overwhelming, consuming burden. I was thrilled when we were married in May of 2001, and we got to take a trip to the Philippines in July. When I left the Philippines, I left a piece of my heart there. I'm so thankful to the Lord that He's allowing us to return, and I pray that He will use my life in a special way in the lives of the people in the Philippines.
I accepted Christ when I was 4 years old. One day I was playing and God was speaking in my heart, so I went to tell my mom. I told her that I wanted to get saved. After we talked, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. After I got saved, I did not know what God wanted me to be. I thought about being a missionary. One evening, Pastor Phil Smith, a visiting missionary, preached on sacrifice. God used his message to speak to me that I need to be willing to give my life for Him. When I was a very little boy, I was very disobedient. One night, I disobeyed Mommy and Daddy again. Daddy was talking to me about getting saved, and I had a hard time deciding to get saved. Then I decided to get saved. I asked Jesus to take away my sins. Jesus helps me to be a good boy now.
One night, to my heart. I pray every night I pray that my joy will get saved.
Our ministry goals are to evangelize the lost through the preaching and teaching of God's Word, to establish local New Testament Baptist churches, and to equip others to carry on the work.
Let's receive on the hills all around each day. Fill my heart with
Amen. Well, I trust you'll pray for the Malazzo family as they continue on their pre-field ministry and God directs them to the Philippines. I believe they'll do a great work, and so continue to pray for them. At this time, Brother Josh Walsh is going to come and sing, God's Been Good.
No better way to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. Cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt His arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joys than hurt, as His grace rolled down upon me, undeserved. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. Cause through it all, God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I can stand forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. Cause through it all, God's been good. God's been good.
I asked Brother Walsh to sing, but I asked him to sing that song. It's just such a blessing to my heart, that reminder that we need that God's been good. Our preacher for this hour is Pastor Brandon Lake. We already know he can sing. We want to see if he can preach. He's from Bridgetown, Nova Scotia, and he, believe it or not, he's born and raised Canadian, and his father and his parents are Canadian too. He's just got that fire that you would think came from somewhere else because we're so reserved. But not him. He got it for all of us. Amen? So he's going to come bring that fire to the pulpit now and preach to us from the Word of God.
Amen. Well, it's good to be here. Never thought I would be, but got the privilege to meet Pastor Feary a couple years ago, and he came through our church, and
and it was a blessing. We had a great time of fellowship, and it's been good. It's been good to be here this week and to be able to put a face to some of the names that I've been seeing over the last couple of years, and also to let you all know that we're not as crazy down there as you might think we are. Amen. We are a little bit crazy, but maybe not as crazy as some might have thought. But it's been a privilege to be able to just be around and meet some of you, and hope that what God's given me this morning will be a blessing. I had the privilege on Sunday morning in the Sunday school hour to preach to the teenagers. I don't know if they thought it was a privilege or not, but we kind of got talking hockey a little bit, and they just thought that the fat, bald preacher couldn't play anymore, so I put the challenge out there, and we've been talking smack about it all week, so I'm looking forward to humbling those peacocks over there. But I love young people and these kids, and it's been a blessing to me to see, you know, not only pastors and preachers, but see young people here this week. And you know, as I was thinking, as Brother Stone was preaching last night, and he had all the men stand up here, and then that last group that was in behind, that's our hope. That's the future of our country, and we need to invest all we can in them and take care of them the best that we can and train them the best that we can. And I love young people, and, you know, I don't know these guys and these ladies that well, but I pray God's best for you. And all I can do is stand here this morning and tell you that there's no life like serving God. And, you know, I haven't always done the right thing. I haven't always made the right choices. But I do thank God that I had a mom and dad that cared for me. And I always had a preacher that would stand flat-footed and preach the book and not be ashamed of doing so, and told it just like it was. And, you know, I grew up in my younger days as a child under my grandfather. And, boy, he was just a faithful man, preached the word, pastored his church over 30 years. And died with his boots on, amen. And I guess that's why everybody thinks we're from the South. They say we have an accent, but you all sound the same to me. But I guess we have a brogue down there in the East, Brother Walsh. But you must have done something good with him, because he lost all his Newfie accent that I could tell. But sure is good to have at least one more guy, two Brother Grooms, a couple of us from the East, amen. But open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 15. And I know this might be a bit of a different passage of Scripture to go to at a pastor's conference. But after yesterday morning, Brother Grooms preached my message, and so did Brother Hamby. So I figured we could do something different this morning. So I spent all night studying and in prayer and on my knees. So anyways, let's go to Luke chapter 15. Again, I'd just like to say that, you know, I just recently our children started singing with us, and we really hadn't had them up front singing too much. And so I was a little nervous about how they would do in front of, you know, so many people, considering I was telling the folks on Sunday that the width of our church is probably the width of that pew in the back. And but we pack as many people in there as we can, and they've been doing a great job. And I want to invest in my children. And if we don't have strong homes, we don't have strong churches. And I think about what John said, that his greatest joy was to know that his children walked in truth. And I'm not here this morning to preach what God's given me based upon what I've done with my children, but based upon what I've seen done in my dad's home growing up, and hopefully some of these things will be a blessing to you, because someday even us younger preachers, you know, in our 30s and 40s, we're going to be old, and someday we're going to have to pass the torch, and we're going to live in a worse world than they're going to live in a worse world than what we're living in today. And it's hard to believe even the things that I've seen in my short years. How things have gone, and you know, technology, and I don't know, maybe I'm the only guy that still preaches out of just an old notebook with a pen and paper, I don't know, but I'm thinking that I'm running behind the times or something. I'm not sure. I I've just seen the glow of the screen, and I thought, good night. I knew we were a little bit behind down there in the Maritimes. I didn't think we were that far behind, but hopefully God can still get it done with a pen and paper this morning. Amen. But look in Luke chapter 15. It's such a familiar story to us all. Look there, if you would, down in verse number 11. The Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness to me. God, I pray this morning for your help. Lord, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross. Lord, do with this message, Lord, whatever you want to do. God, help me to get out of the way. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would take control. Lord, that you'd move in our hearts as you see fit. And do the work that only you can do. Lord, I thank you for the great tool that lies before me in the Word of God. I thank you for its faithfulness all the years of my life, Lord. And I pray once again this morning you would use it as that sword, quick and powerful and sharp, Lord. And help us this morning, Lord. We're in desperate need in these days of your help. And I ask for it this morning in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You know, here in this story of the prodigal son, I've heard this passage preached so many different ways, as I'm sure that you have. But as I've read through this thing, and God has, given me the experiences of my life and growing up in a Christian home, and I understand that many of you really don't know who I am and don't know a whole lot about what God's done, but I thank God that I had a preaching grandfather, and my father's a pastor, and I thank God that my siblings are married to men in the ministry and all of that kind of thing. And I sure thank God for the goodly heritage. I really stand here this morning and really feel that the lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Amen. And I thank God for mom and dad that cared. I thank God for preachers in my life that cared. And God bless every one of you men that takes time to invest in young people and children's ministries and things of this nature. It's so important. But as I read this portion of Scripture, what disturbs me about it more than anything else is not what's written here, but what's not written here. And I've noticed several things as I've read down through this portion of Scripture that I hope will help this morning about what's missing in the life of this prodigal son. What's missing from this story? And as I began to read, several things stuck out to me in particular. And I pray that you'll forgive me this morning. I don't know all the right hand gestures and exactly how to say, and my illustrations and things might be rough, but please understand my heart this morning as I look through the Scripture here. I notice that it speaks of a certain man that had two sons. But you know, as I've read, I've seen something that's missing here in this portion of Scripture, and this prodigal son ends up in the far country. And the first thing I notice here that's missing in this story is a mother. A mother is missing here. A parent is missing here in this story. And a little while ago, I was preparing some messages on the home and trying to get some statistics that were relevant to our country. And I read that in 1921, there was 558 divorces in all of Canada. In 1995, there were 77,636 divorces in Canada. And there's many other statistics that I had. You know, I read this statistic. 1 year after separation or divorce, 50% of the children in those situations never saw their fathers again. Just amazing statistics. And when I read through this portion of Scripture, and it's been mentioned already, we see divorces on the rise. We see homes falling apart. And listen, we have Christian homes today where there's a mother and father present, and yet they're not present. And I know the danger in the ministry, amen, and I understand what was preached last night, and I appreciate what was meant by it, but I'm here to say that our families are important, amen. If I don't have my wife, if I don't have my children, I probably don't have my ministry. Amen. And I see here in this young man, and he, somewhere along the line, his heart is turned from his mother and turned from his father. And he gets his eyes off into that far country and he desires the things of the world. And I notice that there's a parent missing. There's no mother here. And I don't know where she might have been this morning. I don't know if she might have been at work. Amen. I don't know if she might have been out running the roads. I don't know where she might have been, but I know one thing. I sure thank God for a mother who felt that it was her responsibility to be a keeper at home and to raise her children and to love them and nurture and admonish them in the things of God. And I had a dad who was a hard worker. Amen. He'd go off to work every morning. But I remember every morning when I'd get up, we'd go into the living room and head for the kitchen for breakfast. And there he'd be on his knees praying before God. And I could hear him pray many hours for his children that they'd grow up to love and serve God. And I thank God for a home where the parents were in their rightful place. Amen. We don't see that as often anymore. Amen. We slipped into this mentality that, you know, we have to have a two-income household. And I'm not preaching against that. I'm just saying that we need to have both parents in the home. Amen. Amen. Our kids need the mother's influence. And there's things that she can offer that a father can't. And our children need a father's influence because there's things he brings that a mother can't. Amen. Amen. I thank God for a good mother, but when I look at this thing, this prodigal son, as he begins to stray, I notice there's a parent missing. There's a parent missing. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." Amen, ladies, you have a great responsibility and a great opportunity. Amen. We've read the biographies, and I know they're not Baptist, amen, but John and Charles Wesley, and we've read, you know, about Susanna Wesley and how she raised those boys, and I know she didn't do everything right, but she taught them to respect what was holy and honor God, amen. And I just thank God for a good mother. Amen. We need both parents in the home today. You know, I notice something else that's missing as I read down through here. And we begin to look in there in verse 12. And the Bible says, "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.'" Now, we've been talking about a different generation of young people. And I don't know how it was in your home, but I know that was not the way I talked to my father in our home. Amen. There wasn't ever a time I went to my dad and said, "Hey, Dad, give me what's coming to me." If I asked for that, I was afraid I would get that. Amen. But what was coming to me, I didn't want. Honestly, folks, I got spanked more than any other child in this world. And I know we have parents in our own church. And I love our church. God bless them. We've got, I believe, the best church, amen, in the world. I love them to death. But, you know, we've got to teach our parents, amen, you just cannot give your child everything they want. Amen. If we want to raise our young people to be men of God, our young boys to grow up and have the power of God that Brother Grooms preached about, and our young ladies to be ladies, amen, you can't give them everything they want. You know what I see missing here? I see the protest, a protest missing from this story. Hey, what was wrong with this dad that he just didn't say to his son, "You know what, son, I'm not giving you what you want." And somehow we've got this idea in our homes that as soon as that child turns 16 or as soon as they turn 18 or they get their driver's license, they can go wherever they want to go and they can do what they want to do and they get to make their own choices. And I never made a choice for myself till I moved out of my dad's house. Amen. Amen. There's a protest missing. Listen, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 18, it says, chasten thy son while there is hope. Amen. And boy, I preach to young people all over the place, and we've got a church that's full of children, and I look at those children, and what I see is hope. And my hope rests in my children, and that they will carry on what's been started, and that they will serve God, and they will love God. But in order to have children that'll do that, we've got to raise them up and chasten them when it's required, and correct them when it's required. And they don't like it. They don't like it. No child ever does. I sure didn't. You know? But chasten thy son while there is hope. What was wrong with this dad? Why didn't he just tell his son, hey, listen, son, you're not having that. It's not good for you right now. Amen. And no kid likes to be told no. And listen, parents, you know, we don't really like telling our children no, but we better do it. We better do it. Amen. We need to learn to tell them no. Look over in Proverbs chapter 13. You know, using a pen and paper, I only write out so many of my verses. Amen. So we got to rustle the pages here a little bit this morning. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 24. Amen. The Bible says there, he that hateth his, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. You know, we've got this idea that when we chasten and we correct our children, whether it be with the rod or a rebuke or whatever, that will cause them to hate us. I just recall a story my dad told one time about a, he used to run just about every ministry in his home church. He just wasn't involved. We were always at church. Every activity that we had just about had to do with church. And he used to run the bus ministry, and I used to go with him in the mornings. And he told about this young boy who came on that bus, and you know, a lot of times those kids, they don't have much at home that's unruly, and you know, it's difficult at home. And this little boy came in there to church, and he was causing a ruckus, and you know, my dad went over to him and said, son, you got to sit still. And of course, he didn't sit still. He started squirming around, and finally, son, you got to sit still. And he still wouldn't sit still. So they got tough on him. My dad sat down there by him, and he got mad, and he ran. And he ran out the church door and started running down the street. And so they took off after him and brought him back in there. And he was all upset, and he was sitting on the back row. And, you know, he was all mad. But before long, before too many minutes had passed, he started creeping up. Fourth bench, third bench, second bench. And by the end of that thing, there he was, sitting on that first row. You know, that boy, the next Sunday, he came into the church, and my dad said, first thing he did as soon as he walked through the doors, he threw his arms around my dad. You say, how? Why would he do that? Because he knew somebody loved him. Because he knew somebody cared. You know, young people, whether it's a young person, a teenager, or a child, they want to have boundaries. They may not understand that altogether. I know I sure didn't. But they want to have boundaries. They want to have somebody tell them no. They want to know where the line is drawn, to know that somebody cares. Amen. Amen. There's a protest missing here. We need to learn to say no. To say no. You know, there's something else that I see that's missing here. As I read down through this portion of Scripture here in Luke chapter 15... I see that a profession is missing. And what I mean by that is I don't see anybody stand up and give a testimony to this young boy and say that far off country is a dangerous place. You know, I thank God, you know, a good mom and a good dad and all that kind of thing. But where was that person to come alongside that boy and say, hey, I know what you're thinking. Some church member, some older person, even some other teenager to come alongside that one and say, hey, listen, I know what you're thinking. I know you think it'd be better off where that far country is. I know you think it'd be better off to go on out there and sow your wild oats. But I'm just here to tell you there's nothing but heartache and nothing but sorrow and nothing but grief waiting for you there. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, that these things were written for our ensamples. Amen. They were written unto us for an admonition of the Lord. Amen. And we've got this book to show us how we should walk and what we should do. And you know what I see missing here? Where is that other Christian that just comes alongside and warns them that it's not all that he thinks it is out there? Amen. We need that mentoring. We need, and boy, I'll tell you, I mentioned to Brother Feary something that blessed my heart this week was, you know, a lot of times we go to conferences and meetings and, you know, it's always the young people that are serving the meals and doing this and that. And that's a good thing, you know, but boy, I was blessed by the older folks, the seniors and that, that have been serving us. And I feel a little awkward. I feel like it should be the other way around. But, you know, I thank God that when some of these Christians, you know, turn 50 or turn 60, they didn't cash in their retirement on God. Amen. We still need that. And that's been a blessing to me here. I've learned something from that this week. And I want to go back and encourage our seniors, you know, that they have an important place in our church. Amen. And get busy and be an encouragement to these younger ones and let them know, hey, you might be thinking about going off out there and sowing your wild oats, but it's not all it's cracked up to be. Amen. Boy, I'm sure glad I had some people like that in my life. Well, I had some preachers that took some time for me. And invested in me. And you know, my dad did everything but pretty much push me into their laps. Amen. We're taught to love those preachers and love those men of God and respect them. Amen. And well, I sure am thankful for those. In fact, I know some of you have been joking and all that and about these cowboy boots I wear. You know why I wear them mostly? I wear them because they are given to me by one of my heroes. A preacher that's invested some time in me bought them for me. And you know, every time I put them on, it just makes me think of him and think of all the time that he's put into me and all the good advice that I've gotten over the years and just reminds me, hey, I don't want to disappoint God and I don't want to disappoint him. Amen. I thank God for men of God that invested in me. Preachers that invested in me. And you know, I had many influences in my life, and probably most of them you wouldn't know. But good men of God, amen, that just took time for me, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm sure they saw things then that I couldn't see. But when I read this story, it breaks my heart to see that there's just a testimony missing. Just somebody to go to this young man and just say, hey, listen, that place that you're going, it's not a good place. Amen. There's something missing. There's a profession missing. Nobody with a warning. I mentioned already, it has. It's been such a blessing to me just to see everybody here working together. It's amazed me. It's wonderful. And you know, the young people, they've been helping with the kids and doing all that. That's great. See a church work together that way is a blessing. Something else I noticed missing here as I read down through this story, I don't see a prayer. I don't see a prayer. I don't see a prayer by this young man. I don't see a prayer by his father. I just don't see any prayer. What's happened to prayer? What's happened to our prayer lives? Why is it, Brother Grooms preached so well yesterday morning, why is it that there's no power? Why is it that there's no presence of God? Amen. Why is it that our churches are dry and our preaching is dry and our congregations are dead? Why is that? We still pray to the same God. Well, I read about old Daniel Nash, and boy, he'd go in there before Brother Finney would go to a town to preach, and that man would get in there a weeks before, and he'd rent a hotel room, just a low-cost one, and he'd get in there and pull the shades and tell the hotel keeper, just bring me bread and water. He'd get in there and get on his knees and pray and seek God's face, and revival swept the land because of prayer. And I believe that I read somewhere also that when Daniel Nash passed away, it was shortly thereafter that Charles Finney stopped being an evangelist. Without the power of prayer, there's nothing. There's nothing. We've all read about George Mueller. We know how he prayed in the supplies that were necessary to do the work that he did for God. And yet, why is it here in this story? I don't know too much about this father. The Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot, but I've always just thought that he was probably a good, faithful man, that, you know, he provided for his family and some things we can see about him there. But why is it there's no prayer? Why is it we don't gather our families around the altar and pray over our children and beg God to pass on to them what we have? Boy, some of the most precious times, meetings that we've been in, I'll take my children and we'll go to the preacher and say, "Preacher, will you please pray for me and pray for my children?" And to hear those men of God pray over my children and ask God to raise them up to be young men that love and honor and serve God. Boy, such a blessing. It was good for them yesterday to see, amen, some men of God here praying, and to watch my little boy over here praying with a group of preachers over here. What a blessing, amen. Thank God for prayer. But there's no prayer here. Wonder how many times we get our children together and just pray over our children. And boy, let me just say this. Before I got up in the pulpit this morning, I asked each one of my boys to come pray for me. Amen. Suffer the little children. My two oldest, they've accepted the Lord as their Savior, made a profession of faith. I wanted them to pray for Dad. Amen. But there's no prayer here. Maybe no family altar here. Boy, some of the sweetest times we had as kids was... And listen, my dad did... Now, my dad, he knows what a lecture is. And anybody that knows him knows that, but... You know, he didn't preach us a 3-point outline and family altar. He didn't always just grill us. Sometimes we'd just talk about something to do with the Word of God. And we'd always take time to pray. Boy, those are precious memories. Amen. Precious memories. And I thank God for that. I thank God for those times of prayer. We used to, the men in our church, the only ice time that we could ever get was 10:45 on Saturday night. And right from a little boy, I begged, "Dad, let me go, let me go." "No, it's too late, son. I don't want you to be tired out in church." But by the time I was 6 or 7, I begged him enough and he must have gave in. And I remember we used to go and we always had men's prayer meeting on Saturday night at 7:00. And we had one brother, and man, he would pray forever. I always told my mom, I said, "Don't worry about a nap, Mom. I'll get one tonight in prayer meeting." We'd go down there, and he'd pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And you know, we'd... But boy, it sure was good. I look back on that and I remember times, boy, those men there, boy, they'd be crying and weeping and calling out to God. And boy, it just made an impression on me as a kid. When I read this story, I see no prayer. No prayer. No prayer. No prayer meetings. Used to be every time before church, you know, we used to have all the men in the church, we'd meet together for prayer. All the men don't meet together anymore. I go back to churches that I grew up in, churches, you know, in different places. And, you know, it's the same story. And I remember we used to have 23 young people in our youth group. And every Saturday morning at 10:00, there used to be 23 young people knocking on doors. Not anymore. Not anymore. There's something missing. There's something missing, and it's great what we have. It's great that we're able to come together. We've heard some good preaching. We've had some great fellowship. We sure have been fed well. I'll tell you, the hospitality of this church has been great. It's been a wonderful example to us all of that kind of stuff. But if we don't do something about what's missing, what will be left for our children? There's something missing. Prayer's missing. I remember when I was a teenager, pivotal point in my life, and I, for all the spankings I got, I still had a strong will. But I came to a point as a teenager where I was about to make a life decision that would have changed the course of my life for the rest of my life. And I remember one night getting up, going upstairs, I heard my mother and my father in their bedroom crying. My dad never made that decision for me, and it was about the first time he never made the decision for me. But I heard them praying for me, asking God, Lord, please, please don't let him make this decision. And man, I'll tell you, that broke my heart. There was no way I could have done it after that. No matter how bad I wanted to, no matter what I thought, you know, it was going to be good. And listen, it wasn't any terrible thing. I wanted to go somewhere and go to a Bible school, and I wanted to do this. And Dad said, listen, boy, you won't get the experience there that you'll get here. Why don't you just stay with me? Why don't you just serve here in our church? I'll teach you the Bible. And I said, oh, Dad, you know, I thought I knew what I wanted to do. Well, I sure am glad for praying parents. I'm sure glad prayer wasn't missing from my childhood. Man, God broke me on that thing. And boy, time and time again, I've thought about that. I probably wouldn't be married to the lady that I am. I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Boy, I just thank God for praying parents. I'm so thankful it wasn't missing from my childhood. There's something else that I see missing. In this story, I see a place missing. I see a place missing. I see a church missing. A church missing. And this has been preached on so much already this week. But you know, my heart is, I think about what David said there. He said, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. And boy, that's my heart. There's no place that I'd rather be other than church. Man, I love the house of God, and we are taught to do so just young. We'd go as a family and clean the church. We'd be the ones changing the church sign. My dad was the youth pastor. He was the bus guy. He was the one that organized the visitation program, all that stuff. Man, we just loved church. Loved church. But I notice in this story, this young man, it's missing. And listen, you know, we all know this. You can be here in body, but not in any, you know, absent every other way. Amen. But boy, I thank God for the church. I thank God for a place where I saw the power of God poured out, both from behind the pulpit. And, you know, thank God I grew up in a church where there's not only power in the pulpit, there's power in the pew. Amen. We had some great old saints of God that just loved God and served God. And amen, when the preacher would preach it hot, the people would respond hot. Amen. I mean, I know everybody's different in different areas of the country. Amen. But we're just taught that. And you say, I had somebody ask me, he said, you amen yourself when you're preaching. I said, some places I have to. Just got, I don't know how it happened, it just kind of developed and it got to be a habit, so I just amen myself every once in a while. It makes me feel good about what I'm saying anyway. But boy, that's the way it was when we were growing up, man. Preachers came in there and they'd preach like, you know, just preach the house on fire, and we'd get all excited. And I know salvation is not a feeling, but I'm sure glad I have a salvation I can feel, amen. And that's the kind I want my children to have, amen. Old-time religion. You know, everybody thinks the Pentecostals were the ones that started shouting. It wasn't the Pentecostals, amen. Oh, we were the shouters, amen. We were the ones that responded to preaching, but we've lost that somewhere along the line, amen. We've forgot how to praise God. And I've heard stories, and I never had the privilege of meeting Brother Strachan, but boy, I've heard from several that he was a preacher, man. He'd preach it hot. He'd pound the pulpit. He'd get on people, amen. And there was a response. And boy, I like that, amen. I like that. Well, I'm sure glad that the churches that I grew up in, amen, had some power of God. We saw God move, and I know this church has seen God move, and I pray that it's your heart's desire to see God move time and time and time again. Amen. Every time I come to the Lord's house, I'm looking for Him to do something. Amen. I don't ever want to go to a church that's dead and dried up. Amen. I want my children to enjoy church, to love going. And amen, it's not in the programs. It's not in all the little things that are going on. That's not where the power of God is. Amen. We got to get the presence of God, the power of God in our preaching. And if God's going to get the job done, it will be through preaching. Amen. But there's a place here missing for this boy. Church. Church. Amen. You know, when you go to church, don't be a spectator. Be a participator. Amen. I preached the first message I ever preached. I was 11. And boy, it was a mess. I thought I had the message. I still have the notes. It's on a piece of notebook paper. I wrote it during math class. And I preached on There Is a Hope. And boy, I thought, man, you know, he gave us 10 minutes, and that was awful gracious for 11 years. Man, I think I took 3, if that. All I could barely do was read the scriptures, and I had nothing else to say. But, well, I'm sure glad that I was given those opportunities at a young age. And, you know, they were dry, old, I mean, nothing to it messages. But, you know, the people in the church, they come over, boy, you sure did a good job. And after they said it so long, they started to convince me. But I knew better, amen. I just had to. It was some of the most humiliating experiences I ever had. And sometimes it still is, amen. But I sure am thankful for just, you know, a church that gave us a place to participate. And I've noticed that here. What a blessing, amen. Not afraid to use the young people and the children. That's good. We need church. We need church. You know, we all know the scripture in Psalms 84. You know, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. And boy, just any old thing that you can do. Young people, just do any old thing you can do. Any old thing you can do here at this church. And just love it. And just, you know, I always want to be at the church. You know, I've really enjoyed, brother, just being parked right over here and Brother Judge's RV there and just camping out there because I get to be here first. Amen. And each morning, man, I've just come over here and Brother Fury gave me a key so I could get in. Man, I just come over in here and sit. Why? I just love being in the house of God. Amen. It's just the place I love. And let me give you another thing that's missing here. I'm almost done. You know what's missing here? There's a preacher missing here. There's a preacher missing here. And listen, I went back to the RV there last night and I started praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because, see, the first of the week I thought I'd got the message. But it was preached twice yesterday. So I said, Lord, are you sure you want that 3 times? And you know, the Lord moved things off in another direction, but just humor me, if you would, and look over there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 one more time. I know that the theme of the conference is, you know, the duty of preachers is to preach. And boy, I sure do believe that. I believe God's in preaching, not PowerPoints. Amen. I know those are great tools for teaching and you know, that kind of thing. But boy, I still believe in preaching. You know, when I got saved, it was because of preaching. Amen. And every step forward I've made with the Lord, every decision, every pivotal point in my life where I made a decision for God, it was as a result of an old-fashioned leather-lung preacher that stood up behind a pulpit and preached the fire down. Amen. And listen, we need teaching. We need people that can stand up here. And I'm looking forward to, I've already seen a little bit of what Brother Jessup's going to, and I'm looking forward to that. Amen. But we need preachers to preach. Amen. And you know, there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, preach the word. Preach the word. There's so many things out there. You know, we've got all this emergent church movement. We've got, you know, Rick Warren and the Joel Osteens. And I know I'm calling the names and maybe I shouldn't, but they're not preachers. Amen. I don't think those guys have ever preached the word in their life. Amen. We need some preachers. Amen. Preachers who believe in their duty to preach the Word of God. Amen. Listen, we've got a treasure to preach. Here in this verse it says, preach the word. We have got the ultimate treasure. We have got the word of God. Amen. And thank God we have it in our language. And thank God, listen, hey, I'm just going to step out here on thin ice. And thank God, listen, I went to local church Bible Institute, amen. We never took a Greek class. We never took a Hebrew class. But I'm sure thankful that I have the inspired, preserved Word of God in my hands, amen. It's all I've ever needed, amen. It's all He ever needed, amen, to lead me to Christ. It's all that was ever needed, amen, to put a desire in me for the things of God. And when I read it, it is a sharp and effectual sword that pierces into my heart and changes my life, amen. And boy, I'm thank God for it. You know, I believe this book is a treasure. Amen, I believe that by faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you know, I know it's a very simplistic view, but you know, I just have enough faith to believe, just simply believe this book, amen. This King James Bible, I just believe it, amen. I just believe it by faith. And you know, also I believe it by its foundation. Oh, I've studied just a little bit. I know where it came from. Amen. I know the line is pure. Praise God. And I believe that we've been given the Word of God. And when I hold this in my hand, I'm unashamed to say this is the Word of God. Amen. I believe it because of its foundation. I believe this book by its fruit. Amen. This book has borne fruit that no other perversion or anything else ever has. Amen. The revivals and the awakenings and the things that have taken place that we read about in history has come as a result of the preaching of this book. Amen. Amen. All that new stuff, it brings about movements. Amen. You know, a little moving here, a little moving there. Amen. But boy, I love this book because of its fruit. Boy, we have a treasure to preach. Amen. The Bible says that we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. It's by this book that we're saved. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. It's by this book we're sanctified. Amen. This book, we have a treasure to preach. Amen. Amen. I like books. My wife wishes that I didn't like him as well as I do, but you know, I like books. But you know what? We have the book. The book. Amen. And that verse says, preach the word. We have a treasure to preach. It says there, be instant in season, out of season. We have a time to preach. Amen. That's all the time. When it's popular, in season. When it's unpopular, out of season. And by the way, preaching is out of season. It's out of season. I had the opportunity to be on a radio broadcast in our local area on the country radio station. And it bothers me there in our town. You know, we have a town of 1,000 people. We have 8 churches. We have a United Baptist Church. And, of course, what they're doing now, those United Baptists, they're taking United out of their name. And so there's what people perceive, there's 2 Baptist churches. And so when we made a sign, we put independent, soul-winning, missions-minded King James Bible, and that differentiated it a lot. But you know, as I go down through there, this is what I've seen on church signs. Amen. I've seen 10:45 morning service, 12 noon water slide. I've seen now playing the grace card. Church signs, Baptist church signs. The Baptist church there in town, we see a message for Sunday morning. They only have one service a week. Here's a message, journaling for life. I'm disturbed about any man that knows what journaling for life is. I've seen, after the Olympics were over, I saw our Olympic journey. Where is the preaching? Where is sin? Where is the wrath of God? Where is judgment? Where is, be sure your sin will find you out. Where is every man shall give an account of himself to God? Where's the preaching of the word? Amen. Listen, I'm tired of the social gospel. I'm tired of the popular preaching or speaking. I don't ever want to be a guest speaker. Amen. I want to be a guest preacher. And I'm sure glad that we've had guest preachers this week. Amen. Amen. We have a time to preach, and the time is now, because many are just simply not doing the job. We have the tone in which we're to preach there in that verse. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort. You know what I noticed about that? I find that amazing. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. I see that as 2/3 negative, 1/3 positive. And yet all anybody wants anymore is just positive preaching. Amen. Hey, I love hearing preaching about heaven. I love hearing preaching about, you know, those good old things. But boy, reprove and rebuke. Amen. 2/3 negative there. And then he says, with all long suffering and doctrine. And listen, I know there's certain things, but listen, doctrine's important. You know, in fact, in the next verses there, it tells us about a time that will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And we're about there. I don't know how it is up here in Ontario, but in the East, Calvinism is rampant. And it is a deadening, damning doctrine. We're dealing with it all the time. You know, lordship salvation is another one. I mean, on and on the list goes, and preachers, we need to be aware of these doctrines that are depressing and discouraging our churches. Amen. We need to have doctrine. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. Amen. I'm not saying we all have to cross every T and dot every I the same. Amen. But we ought to believe in the importance of doctrine. Boy, when I read this story of what's missing here in the prodigal son, I see a preacher missing. Just an old rare back and letter fly preacher. Then lastly this morning, what I see missing here is I see a personal relationship with God missing. There's no... You know, I encouraged my kids, you know, when they came to me and said they wanted to be saved, and that was great. And you know, I'm glad for that, but I'm looking for fruit. I want them to develop a personal relationship with the Lord. And we all know that starts with salvation. But you know, as great as his dad might have been or whatever, I don't see any personal relationship there. I mentioned the verse already, you know, that John said he had no greater joy than to know that his children walked in truth. I want to see my kids have a personal relationship with God. And I know that comes with time. I know how it was for me, you know, over time that, you know, my parents' God became my God, my preacher's God became my God, and all that. But I'm looking for a personal relationship. Looking forward to the time when I don't have to make them sit down and read their Bible. They want to sit down and read their Bible. Looking forward to the time when I don't have to make them pray. They want to pray. A personal relationship. And you know, one of the things that influenced me the most was my father's personal relationship with the Lord. And that's what our kids are going to see. Whether you're a preacher or a father or whatever, they're looking for your personal relationship. Listen, I know this is probably not a very good preacher's conference message, but it's what God gave me. And the question is this morning, what's missing? What's missing? There could be other things that are missing. All I know is I hope something like this is around when my children are my age. We host a old-fashioned camp meeting at our church. And you know, God's just been blessing that over the last couple of years. And you know what? I hope that's there when my kids are my age. I started song leading for my dad in our church when I was 15. I started being the youth director when I was 17, I started door knocking, changing the sign, teaching Sunday school, working in junior church, going to men's prayer meeting. You know why? Because I saw those things in my dad's life. What's missing? What's missing? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that you bless now as we move on. Look forward to the remainder of the day. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, you come ahead.
I'm going to close the service the way we've closed our other daytime sessions. I'm just going to encourage you to get with somebody right now and pray for a few minutes, and then you can dismiss yourself, take a little break. We're going to meet back here at 11 o'clock sharp. That's just 10 minutes, and then we'll proceed with our next session. All right, so take some time to pray. Reflect on what God's doing in your heart.